program. The background music says the right and wrong engage today. We're going to look at the right and the wrong concerning the local church and the movement. Interesting issue. We'll be looking at it. Stay tuned. Going to be looking at the difference between the church and the movement. When we talk about church, we're talking about the local churches in the world today. That's the only kind of church that's in the Bible. There is no such thing as a universal church. And the difference between the church and the movement, well, something that's different is something that's not the same. And the basic difference is one is scriptural and one is not. Listen to this message and song, Make It Your Prayer. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit has come, He will guide us into all truth. Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth Thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth Thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for Thee, ready, my God, Thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
As we mentioned, the background music that introduces this program says the right and wrong engage today. And when it comes to the issues of the day, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Now, when we're looking at the difference between the local churches and the movement, as we've said, first of all, there's no such thing in the Bible as a so-called universal church. When God talks about a church, He's talking about an assembly of people that are organized the way the Bible says to organize them, and the Bible is very clear about that. However, what happens is we read a few minutes about what one of our heroes of the faith has put in a book, And he says something about the so-called universal church, and we say, well, that must be it. Well, what we're supposed to do is to go home like the Bereans did and examine the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. Now, if they went home and Paul commended them for examining the scriptures after he preached a message to see if what he said was so, how much more should you be examining the scriptures to see if what I'm saying is so? You shouldn't believe anything that I say or anybody else says about these issues until you get into the Word of God and examine the scriptures for yourself to see if these things be so. When you stand before Almighty God, you're not going to say, well, my favorite preacher said, you know, you're there to answer for you, not for your favorite preacher. And so let me say at the beginning of this series of messages, after the message is over, get down to earth in the Word of God and examine the scriptures to see if these things be so. We have swallowed all kinds of stuff that are not scriptural because one of our heroes said it. Now, we're going to look at the difference between the church and the movement. And first of all, we're going to talk about human reasoning. Reasoning is the power of the mind to think and make judgments by the process of logic. Now, our movement was founded on the faulty foundation of human reasoning from day one. Local churches are founded on the Word of God. On several occasions in the Scriptures, we find examples of those who reasoned among themselves. They were trying to understand and make judgments by the process of logic, and their human reasoning was always faulty. Reasoning among themselves. Matthew 16, verse number 7, they reasoned among themselves. Matthew 21, 25, they reasoned with themselves. Mark 2 and verse 8, they so reasoned within themselves. Mark 8 and 16, they reasoned among themselves. Mark 11, 31, they reasoned with themselves. Luke 20 and verse 5, they reasoned with themselves. Luke 20, 14, they reasoned among themselves. Luke 9, verse 46, there arose a reasoning among them. Well, there was Jesus standing right there, had absolutely every answer to every question they might have. Well, they didn't bother talking to him. They reasoned among themselves. Now, the only safe way to reason about scriptural things is to follow the example of Paul, who reasoned with his listeners out of the scriptures, Acts chapter 17, verse number 2. Well, back in the early 1900s, liberalism and modernism and a bunch of other isms were coming in like a flood, and concerned Christian leaders reasoned among themselves. They reasoned together concerning how to combat the problem. We concluded that if we are going to battle liberalism and we're going to battle modernism and communism and socialism and all the other isms, we would need to come up with an ism for ourselves, and so we called it fundamentalism. The outcome of our reasoning was a series of articles known as the Fundamentals. The introduction to the Fundamentals was written by R.A. Torrey, and he said, and I quote, "The oversight of the selection of articles to be included in the Fundamentals was given to a special committee of men who were known to be sound in the faith." Well, let's look at that for a minute. Our special committee, armed with the logical humanistic reasoning that bigger is better, decided to bypass God's plan for the local church, and they formed a special committee. Their special committee included Anglicans, Presbyterians, Methodists, congregation. They even had a few Baptists in there and some other no-name denominations. Some of them sprinkled babies, and they called it baptism. Our special committee included C.I. Scofield, who was divorced in 1883, remarried 3 months later, and was ordained as a pastor in a congregational church the same year. Now, our special committee, who according to R.A. Torrey were all sound in the faith, obviously ignored the fact that 3 times in the Word of God we are told that a divorced man is disqualified from being a pastor. Now, Schofield was one of their heroes, and he was one of their friends, and the big thing was he had a lot of influence. Is that why these founders of fundamentalism ignored the scriptures? In our 14-point creed, otherwise known as the Niagara Creed, point 10 of their creed included, I quote, "We are responsible to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, rising above all sectarian prejudices and denominational bigotry." Well, baptism became a denominational bigotry. Nothing is mentioned in our creed promoting the local church or baptism, as these two important Bible doctrines could not be part of our new parachurch movement if we were going to keep the unity. So for the first time in 2,000 years, God's pastors and God's local churches were pushed aside for our new movement, and the movement became the spearhead of what we call fundamentalism. So we dumped truth for unity. It was the goal to keep the unity, and anyone who suggested anything contrary to the creed that we came up with would be guilty of sectarian prejudices and denominational bigotry. Sectarian means religious beliefs typically regarded as heretical. Prejudice, an opinion not based on reason. A bigot is an intolerant toward those who hold a different opinion. Now, for the sake of unity, R.A. Torrey and A.C. Dixon and W.B. Riley and Lewis Berry Schaeffer and C.I. Schofield and other quote-unquote fundamentalists agreed to reduce the major Bible doctrines concerning the local church and baptism into a different opinion. And for the sake of unity, the creed that determined that those who were true to the doctrine of baptism by immersion were promoting bigotry. We sacrificed Bible doctrine for the sake of unity with baby baptizers, and we had the gall to call that fundamentalism. The fact is, if they had checked the scriptures, they never would have bypassed God's pastors and God's local churches to form a special committee in the first place. One of the byproducts of this so-called fundamentalism is the universal church virus that we have today. One of the contributors on our special committee was an Anglican bishop named John Ryle, and he wrote an article in the Fundamentals concerning what he called the true church, referring to the so-called universal church. He supported his position with absolutely no scripture whatsoever. What else could he do? There's no scripture to support that position. The universal church virus was one of the foundational blocks for what we call fundamentalism. Ryle began his discussion with the question, "Do you belong to the one true church?" suggesting that your local church is not the true church. Referring to their committee, Ryle also said that its members are entirely agreed on the weightier matters of religion, for they are all taught by one Spirit. Agreed on the weightier matters? If the truth be told, Anglicans, Presbyterians, and Baptists were not of one mind concerning baptism. However, the truth could not be told if they were going to keep the unity. Baptism is one-third of the command of Christ in Matthew 28:19. However, nothing is written in all their volumes about the fundamentals about baptism. And for the sake of unity, our compromising fundamentalists remained silent about it at that time. Well, we found a better way. The new movement presented an open door to scores of parachurch ministries, and so we started colleges and newspapers and magazines, and the movement became the new focus. Local churches were reduced in value as the movement took the preeminence, and the God-given title of pastor was far less impressive than president or professor or administrator or director or editor and such like titles. Well, we should have learned from Israel's mistakes, and God's plans for Israel was tribes in their tents, and they said, "No, we want to do it like the world does it. Give us a king." And so God said, "All right, that's the way they want to do it." Didn't turn out very well for them, and we're going to see that in our next program. In the meantime, let's get into the Word of God and learn the difference between God's local church and our human reasoning movement that we call fundamentalism. Well, once again, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, he'll guide you into all truth concerning this issue. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. Make this honestly, make this your prayer. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. Yeah.